In the 82 years since Colonel William Pogue was born, the world has seen an incredible change in aviation technology. In 1930, the thought of taking a flight in a plane was just a dream for most.
Today, it's almost like riding a bus. I recently visited with Colonel William Pogue at his home in Bella Vista, a man who worked with NASA during the Apollo years, lived on Skylab, and walked in space.
Always wanted to fly. Everyone said, did you aspire to be an astronaut? Well, when I was young, there was no such career field.
But there were planes.
There were planes, lots of planes.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to fly.
That's Colonel William Pogue, who spent 3 months aboard Skylab in 1973. He is now retired and living in Bella Vista, one of an elite group of people living right here. As he said, there was no space program when he was growing up in the 1930s and 40s, and flying was expensive. His first flight cost him $15. As a janitor, he made just $30 a month, but he considered it money well spent.
Well, I had just turned 16. So I went over there and took a flight in a Piper Cub, J3 Cub, little 40 horsepower engine in it. But it seemed like that was really uptown.
Born and raised in Oklahoma, Pogue joined the Air Force right after college. It was the beginning of the Korean War. He knew that he wanted to learn to fly, so to avoid being drafted, he enlisted in the Air Force. He lucked out in January of 1951 when he went to Lackland Air Force Base for basic training, and on to flight school, then combat training. He went to Korea in March of 1953, where he flew 43 combat missions before the war ended that July. After Korea, Pogue says that he lucked out again. Of all the people at K2 Base in Korea, he was one of few who were chosen to go to Luke Air Force Base in Arizona. Others went to less desirable locations. Being sent to Luke allowed him the opportunity to try out for the Thunderbirds, an air demonstration team using aerobatics for shows. They used a different type of plane that he was used to flying, and he didn't think that he stood a chance.
Well, I didn't know it, but they weren't looking for people who could already fly the airplane. They were looking for people that wanted to fly the airplane. And I told my wife, I said, I don't think I have a chance, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. At least I'll get to fly the F-84F, and if nothing else. So anyway, so I figured it was a lost cause.
But it wasn't. He got the job and flew all over the United States putting on shows. But by 1957, his wife was about to give birth to their third child, so he resigned from the Thunderbirds. He decided he would go on to graduate school so that he could teach math at the Air Force Academy.
Because, I knew that we were in this sort of propaganda war with the communist nations, and I didn't figure anyone was dumb enough to start a nuclear war, because nobody wins. I thought that I'd like to do that, and so I could prepare for another career.
And it did help him prepare for another career, one with NASA. Had he not gone to graduate school, he would not have made it through the selection process to become an astronaut. And it was there that he heard about NASA and the first round of astronauts selected. He was selected in the fifth round when he was 35. The first step in the process was the physical, which Pogue says was the hardest part, 10 days of tests.
Well, the one that I remember best was they had this box of ice water. And they said you had to put your arm in it from the hands up to the elbow in ice water. I'm telling you, that doesn't sound like it's so bad, but boy, that hurts. And what it does, it gives you cardiovascular stress. And of course, they're watching the instruments that they have on you. And so I was so tempted to pull my arm out of the water, except I knew I was going to have to put it right back in and start timing all over again. This took about 2 minutes, I think.
He passed.
No, we went in right into training.
Okay.
They taught us about space, this and that and the other, but mostly they were technical courses, and the systems courses that covered all the spacecraft that they had at that time, which we were getting the Apollo ready. It didn't take a genius to pass the courses, but you had to know that to be able to operate the equipment.
Pogue worked on many support crews for Apollo while he awaited assignment, even serving as a backup for Apollo 16.
With the idea that our crew, Jerry Carb and Ed Gibson and me, would fly the Apollo 19 next to the last one scheduled. When 18, 19, and 20 were canceled, then Deke came to us and said, well, you're not going to fly on Apollo. And he said, why would you like to fly Skylab? And we said, yay, you know, anything. Because that was it. That was the only game in town.
After 3 years of training, Pogue and his two other crew members launched on an Apollo spacecraft. The day was November 16, 1973. They were the third mission to Skylab, the first space station. Life in space was still very unknown. Skylab's purpose was to perform experiments and investigations in three areas, the first being the sun. Pogue says that some of the things they discovered regarding solar flares and the solar corona were quite novel. The second area of study was the Earth, 270 miles below Skylab. They flew over the same swath of land every 5 days, documenting their observations and conducting comparative studies. He enjoyed both of these areas.
The third area wasn't so much fun. That third area was us. We were test subjects for a wide range of physiological tests, which some weren't so fun, much fun. We had a lower body negative pressure device, and what you get, it looked like a 50-gallon drum. You slipped your feet after they put instrumentation on you and all that. in the lower part of this thing, in a seal, a sort of a diaphragm seal around your abdomen, and they started lowering the pressure on your legs, and it started pulling the blood from your head down in toward your legs, and would cause you to pass out if you took it far enough. We had a big red handle, I call it chicken switch, and if you felt yourself about ready to pass out, you'd hit that one, and it would repressurize the lower part. But they said, I couldn't understand it. It almost seemed sadistic.
And it didn't bother you?
Yeah, it bothered me. I some of those medical tests I didn't particularly like, but there was a good reason and rationale for it.
They also studied how the lack of gravity affected metabolism. Pogue says he was convinced it was different because he was always hungry, even though they were on a 2,800-calorie-a-day diet of what he says was very good food, frozen salmon, pop-top fruit, coffee, and tea. He actually gained weight during their 84 days aboard Skylab. He took two spacewalks during his time there, one on Thanksgiving Day and one on Christmas Day, that one breaking a record for the longest spacewalk. He was out for just over 7 hours. He says he was only scared once, during their return to Earth. The spacecraft was designed for only 2 weeks in space. It had been docked on Skylab for almost 3 months, but they made it. Pogue eventually resigned from NASA. He, along with friend and colleague Jerry Carr, moved to land they had purchased in Madison County. Not one, but two astronauts living in Arkansas. He and Carr went to work for the Boeing company.
I was called a technical services subcontractor. Jerry and I had contracts with the Boeing company to give them support during their design of the International Space Station. And so that was really an interesting job.
So were you able to live here and then
yes,
travel to
yes,
Boeing?
Yes, yes. Okay. Eventually bought a plane so Gene could go with me. And
Gene being his beloved wife he lost in 2009. When he retired from Boeing in 1998, the two traveled the nation, Pogue giving over 500 presentations to school children about life in space. In this day and age, it seems that kids and people have lost an interest in space, but he says the younger ones are still curious. Recent years have seen massive budget cuts to NASA programs, space shuttles grounded indefinitely. And how does that make Pogue feel?
Horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, our leadership is missing, absent.
What do you foresee the future to be?
Well, you have to go back and see what happened. when the budgets were all whacked to pieces and projects canceled, okay, then what you do is you lose your trained cadre. And what you're left with are gray beards and greenhorns. So you have the mixture in your personnel. It's all warped. And so I'm not very optimistic about a turnaround in our space program, because even if you had something known as gung-ho, they've lost their guts. They've lost the people who have made it all happen. It's heartbreaking, really.
And as for Pogue's future, he'll soon be moving to Florida, not far from the Kennedy Space Center, where he plans to spend some time talking with visitors. Colonel William Pogue resides in Bella Vista. He authored books, including How Do You Go to the Bathroom in Space and But for the Grace of God. For more information, www.williampogue.com.